And so when we look at this subject today, it's on the heinousness of sins. Now, heinous is a word that we don't use much today. It's pronounced heinous, not heinous, or heinous, or heinous. Heinous. And then you put the ness on the end, the heinousness. And what does heinous or heinousness mean?
Horrible.
Horrible. Yeah. How bad it is. Yeah. So if we say something is heinous, it's worse. You know, it's like it's worse. So you get a ticket for not stopping at a stop sign. That's a crime, you know. I guess that's a crime. Is that a crime? I guess so. It's a misdemeanor. Yeah, yeah. Traffic violation. But then if you see somebody you don't like and you run your car over them, you know, that's worse. And that rises to the level of a felony, right? So you'd say that's more heinous than this one. So the idea that the heinousness is sort of a degree of badness. So a lot of people have the idea that all sins are the same, that one sin is just as bad as another. It's sort of the moral equivalence that everybody's equal, that there's no sin worse than any other sin. So they'll use that argument sometimes. They'll say, well, at least they're not being a hypocrite. You know, they're just doing it openly. You know. And like that's just as bad. You know, if you're a hypocrite and keep it quiet, it's just as bad as if you do it openly and boldly. You know, but the Bible says, no, that there are differences of sin. Some sins are worse than others. It's interesting, the Bible never says, or the Catechism never says that one sin is better than another. Never says that. You know, this sin is better than that one. It uses the word worse. This sin is worse than that one. It's sort of like you don't want to say anything good about sin. You know, so you don't just use the word better with the word sin. They don't go together. But the word worse, that'll go with sin. So you could say one sin is worse. So I'd like us to look at these, actually, two questions on your paper, but we're going to be looking especially at number 151. But question 150, are all transgressions of the law of God equally heinous in themselves and in the sight of God? So that's the question. Are all sins equally heinous? Are they all equally bad? And the answer, let's read the answer together. Okay? All transgressions of the law of God are not equally heinous, but some sins in themselves and by reason of several aggravations are more heinous in the sight of God than others. Now you'll notice that there are footnotes here. There's a little number one. And then when we go down the next question, it goes all the way down to hymn number. Footnote number 60. And I thought, well, I could put all of these are all scripture references that they referred to. And I thought we could print all 60 scripture references, but that would have been like 5 pages each, you know. So I thought for the economy of the church and the labor of the people doing it, just to do the one page and leave off all the footnotes. But whenever you see those little numbers, that means there are Bible verses that say this. And since the Bible verses are not listed here, I'd like for us just to think, is there any evidence that you can think of from the Bible that would indicate that some sins are worse than others? Yeah, okay, good. Yes. 7 things God hates. Yeah, 6 things and then one more. Yeah. Well, my professor used to call that a numerical collocation. So that's a neat word to use. That means one more. So, yes. So certain things are worse than other things. These things really stand out as really being bad.
Well, the last was an abomination.
I'm sorry?
The last one was an abomination, wasn't it? 6 things God hates and the 7th is an abomination.
Yeah. And then you'd have also phrases like that, actually, the abomination of, you know, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Like, that's a sin that's so outstanding it has a special mention in the Bible. Are there any verses that say that there are different degrees of punishments in hell?
answer is yes. So then, next point. For example, Peter talks about the angels that sinned are now in the deepest hell, or in Greek it's the word Tartarus, which is the lowest hell, suffering in gloomy dungeons, waiting for the judgment of the last day. It's like the lowest level of hell. Jesus said that some servants that don't serve God that will be sent to hell are beaten with few stripes. Others are beaten with many stripes. He said it will be worse at the judgment for the cities around the Lake of Galilee than it will be for Sodom and Gomorrah, because if the miracles that you have seen were done there, they would have repented, but you didn't. So there are degrees of judgment based on the how bad the sin is. If you die as a child and go to hell, you won't suffer as much as if you live to be an adult and then go to hell, because you'll sin more by the time you're an adult. In the Bible, there is justice. So everyone is judged for the works they do. Yes?
Is there not even a degrees of punishment based off of knowledge?
Yes. And we're going to get to that in the next section. On what basis do we sort of grade these things? But there are degrees of how bad a sinner someone is, and then their punishment is based on that, and it's just. And that's the same thing going to heaven. On the other hand, Christians are promised rewards for service for Christ, and Paul says some Christians will have a lot of reward, other Christians will sort of get in by the skin of their teeth. But there's justice on both sides of that equation. But as far as the sins go, yes, some sins are worse than others, more heinous in the sight of God than others. At the end of 1 John, in I think it's chapter 5, there are a couple of verses there where he says there is a sin unto death and there are sins that are not unto death. There are degrees of sins. And there are some sins that people commit, you don't have to pray for them anymore. They've gone off the deep end, you might say. So John distinguishes some sins from others and how heinous they are. Now, the question I wanted to get to today especially is hinted at by the answer we read. You'll notice in the answer we read it said, some are more heinous because of several aggravations. So they're using a lot of these terms here, like legal terms. What's an aggravation? I know it's your kid waking up at 4 in the morning, but we're talking about sinful aggravation. Yeah.
It's a board game.
A board game.
No, but it is a board game.
Is that the one with the marbles?
Yes,
I played that. Yeah. Yeah, I was pastoring a church in Delaware, and one of the families there, they gave us a gift. The father had made this beautiful wooden board, about this big square board, holes in it, bag of marbles, and they used to play it a lot. Still have it at home in the basement. Not doing much. Still is. So aggravation. That's right. So that's talking about how we feel when somebody does something that we don't like, that makes us mad, that makes us agitated. That's an aggravation. But that's not the way the word is being used here. When it talks about sinful aggravation, the aggravation of a sin. What's the word in crime when someone like commits murder?
Homicide,
yes. And there's aggravated murder. Ever heard that expression used? Aggravated murder. And what's aggravated murder?
You encourage the murder to take place.
Okay. And what's about the murder itself that you could call it aggravated murder? Is something, what's that? More painful. It's more premeditated. Yeah, it's premeditated, but it's, yes?
Inspired.
Yeah.
Something
makes it worse, right. And so there's different legal, I know in law they kind of add laws sometimes. And so I know like if you kill a policeman, that's considered, at least in Washington State, that's considered aggravated murder. Because it's not just a private citizen, you're actually killing an officer of the law. If you involve torture, that's an aggravated murder. There are some others legal things. Sometimes they're just, other times they're unjust. But the idea of an aggravated murder means that you can get longer sentencing than you could just for a normal, regular murder. And it makes it worse, you might say, in the sight of the law. Well, that's the way it's used here. When we sin against God, it's worthy of His judgment. And we know that only one sin is enough to condemn us in the sight of God. But not all sins are equally heinous. Some are even more heinous than others. And what makes them more heinous are these aggravations. So you can do something that's bad, it's a sin, but you can do this sin in a certain way that is worse than the normal, just doing it, casually. And that's called aggravation. And so in the next question, 151, the larger catechism then goes into detail. What makes some sins more heinous than others? What are these aggravations that can make a sin worse? And so that's question 151. What are those aggravations that make some sins more heinous than others? Now, the reason I think it's profitable for us to study this, it's not just that we're interested in legal things and, it is interesting from a theoretical perspective, kind of, to look at these laws. But I think it's important for us because we are told as Christians to be holy as Christ is holy and to follow the right way and to turn away from sin. And when we have some idea of what makes sin worse, that sort of helps us to understand what we should what we should avoid and how we should go in the opposite direction. Yeah, somebody had a question over here. Yeah, that would certainly be. Yeah. So so that's right. You get mad at somebody, that's aggravation, and then you kill them for that. That's right. So if you kill somebody because you think they may be doing something bad, that's maybe bad because maybe what they're doing isn't worthy of being killed. On the other hand, if you're just killing them because you want to get something, that's worse, isn't it? And that would be an aggravation. So let's take a look at this. What are those aggravations? And you'll notice the answer is already organized for us in the actual catechism. They actually have these four points. Sins receive their aggravations. And then you'll notice the four points. The first point, from the persons offending. The second point, from the parties offended. The third point, from the nature and quality of the offense. And the fourth point, from circumstances of time and place. So it's an interesting way to divide it up. And we're going to, we go till quarter till, is that the way it works? Okay, so we're going to go through each of these and just look at how each of these fits in, making a sin more heinous. For the first one, from the persons offending. Are some sins worse because of the person who's doing the sinning? And the answer is yes. Right. So if you're a 7-year-old kid and you see somebody's toy that you want and you grab it and take it home, well, that's stealing. That's a sin. But if the parent sees somebody's possessions and they steal it and take it home, that's also stealing. But which of those is worse? The parent is worse because the parent is an older, he's an adult, he should know better, he has more authority, and is in a higher responsibility than a 7-year-old child would be. And so that's a worse, that's an aggravation. So that's when persons offend, if they be of riper age. So, I like that word, ripe. all of us adults, we can say we're of a riper age, but some of us are riper than others. So for an older person to sin is actually a worse sin than if a child sins. Because you should know better. You know, you have more responsibility. You have more knowledge. Also, a greater experience or grace. So, if you have more experience or grace, in other words, God's given you blessings in your life. God's given you a certain amount of grace and knowledge and ability to live a godly way, and you've had more experience in it. And then if you sin, that's worse because you're going against your own training. You're going against that which you've prepared not to do. Here's another one. Eminent for profession. Now, eminent for profession means that you have a... What's eminent means?
Honor.
Honor, yeah, lifted up. Yeah, so you have a profession that kind of lifts you up and makes you a leader or an example. Can you think of some professions that we consider to be more eminent?
A judge.
A president.
Pastor.
Pastor. Doctor, did you say? Yeah. Yeah. What's that?
Teacher.
Teacher. Right. So people like that, that have a position, if they commit a sin, it's worse than if somebody under them commits that very same sin because of their eminence of profession. That makes it worse. It's more heinous in the sight of God. The Bible mentions those of us who are teachers. It's have to be doubly careful because the teacher is judged more harshly. It says that in the book of James for what he says or what she says. So for that eminent profession, gifts. Gifts just means that you have more privileges, more abilities than someone else. So if you know, if you go to I'm trying to think of a situation. I know there was a school a friend of mine worked at where they had a lot of children that were I don't know the politically correct term today, but they were not all there. You know, with special needs. Thank you. So, and sometimes the kids would hit each other, you know, and then they try to separate them, you know, and everything. Well, these kids shouldn't be hitting each other. But then, if you know, we understand that they're lacking in some gifts that we have. So if the teacher goes around hitting the other teachers, well, that's worse because the teacher has the gifts that the student there didn't have. And this goes on. Place, the place that you have in society and even where you may be located at the time. Office, that refers again to, like, for example, in the church, we have elders and pastors, and then we have people in the church. And so if you have an office, you have a higher responsibility. If a member commits the same sin as an officer, it's worse. The officer's sin in the sight of God is worse than that of the prisoner. They're both bad, but the officer is worse. A guide to others. Yeah, if people are following your example. This might even work with celebrities, you know. Celebrity, you know, they do something and they have, you know, 25 million followers on Facebook or on Twitter that see what they've done and follow their example. That has a greater impact for evil. And those whose example is likely to be followed by others. So there you go. So that kind of fits that last thing I said. So these are depending on who does it. So you have to think about yourself. What is your position? If you commit a sin, is it worse than if someone else commits a sin in the sight of God? Now, we don't want to go around judging other people. That's not what we're intending to do here. But just to examine ourselves. And what are some of the things you can think about? Well, all of us have privilege of knowing the Lord, knowing the Scripture, having the fellowship of the church, being a part of God's people here on the earth. And that puts us in a higher personal position than the people in society around us. And if we sin, it's worse than if they do it in the sight of God. And then those of us who have offices or leadership of some kind, that's a double responsibility. Do you think we can avoid sin? I wish, you know. So we really have to ask God to constantly be asking God to cleanse us, to forgive us, and to help us. and ought to be proud of our position. The second category, from the parties offended. You can sin against some people, and it's worse than sinning against other people because of who they are. And notice the first one, against God, is the worst. If we sin against God, that's the worst of anything. And every sin is a sin against God. I remember what David said, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. So that's the first thing. If immediately against God is even more direct. If you're sinning against God directly, it's like you're looking at God saying, I'm doing this because I don't want to obey you. You know, it's like an in-your-face sin. And that's worse. Against God's attributes and worship. So we think like we can sin against the worship of God in various ways, and it's no big deal, but actually it is a big deal. God is concerned that we worship Him properly. And then against Christ and His grace. We sin against the grace of Christ. If we reject His grace, if we think we're good enough without Christ, if He's just a good man. You know, there's a lot of ways you can sin against Christ and not follow Him. We sin against the Holy Spirit, His witness workings. So Jesus said, sinning against the Holy Spirit. Remember, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit was very serious sin. So if we sin against God, it's worse than if we sin against other people. And then we go on to other people here, superiors, men of eminency. So if you sin against someone who is above you or your superior, that's more heinous. We don't like to think that. We like to think we can treat people that have authority over us with disrespect and disobedience and so on, when we are not to do that. We are to respect those who are over us. The Bible mentions that in several places and in one of the commandments. So we are to respect and obey those who have authority over us in their just commands. So if we don't do that, that's a more serious sin. Such as we stand especially related or engaged unto. When it says engaged unto, that doesn't mean like you're engaged, you know, fiancé, although that may be included. It means people that you have a compact with, an agreement with, a connection with. So that would include your family. That would include other people that you are in association with in some kind. If you sin against them, that's worse than against strangers, because you're not only sinning against somebody, you're breaking that bond that put you together. Just an example, if you're married and then have ungodly lust, say, for someone else, that's sinful on two counts. One count, having the sinful lust. Second count, breaking that marriage agreement. And that makes it worse. Against any of the saints, particularly weak brethren. So if we sin against one another or against those especially who are weak in the faith and cause them to stumble, that's worse than sinning against someone who isn't a brother or isn't weak like that. So again, these are things to consider in our lives. The souls of them or any other, that is, we sin against someone's soul. That's worse in a way than sinning against their body. How can we sin against someone's soul? How can we do that?
Encourage sin, or get them to...
Yeah, encourage them to sin. Yeah, right. Encourage someone else to sin, or to do something where they'll have a sinful reaction, and you kind of do it on purpose so they'll have a sinful reaction. Yes, that's hurting your soul. Teaching false doctrine would fall into that. Teaching a heresy would also be hurting those souls. And the common good of all or many. So you do something that infects a large number of people. That's worse than just a single person. So when our sins are judged by God, He judges on the basis of the sin against Himself, but also these other aggravations. And we need to think how our lives impact other people.
Can I make a comment?
Who was that? Yes, yes.
Talks about, you know, if you like tying a millstone around your neck and throwing you off the boat, if you lead a child
That's right. That's a good verse to use. Yeah. Because of their special dependence upon you and their vulnerability and the long lasting effect of what you've done. Yes, that's very good. A good verse to think about. How about the third section here? The nature and quality of the offense. Some sins are just worse than others because of the way you do it. Here's a long list. We obviously don't have time to go through all these different items individually. But notice, if it be against the express letter of the law, so you're doing something that the Bible specifically says not to do, and you're doing it. Now, some things, it sort of opens debate, There was a long discussion back in the 17th century on smoking tobacco. Tobacco was the crop grown in Virginia and sent over to England, and that kept the people going and kept the economy building up there when it was about to flounder. And so a lot of the Christians said, this is great, this is a gift of God, and other Christians were saying, no, this is a terrible thing. And there were books written in England, pro and con, the Bible never talks about smoking. At least I can't find a verse that does. So all the arguments have to be based on principles in the Bible, but there's no specific verse that says you shall not smoke tobacco. But it doesn't mean it's wrong. It's good, necessarily. You have to look at other arguments and other principles. But on the other hand, the Bible does say certain things you're not to do, like you're not supposed to lie to your neighbor. It does say that. So lying to your neighbor is probably worse than smoking tobacco would be. Does that make sense? Because it's against a specific commandment of the Bible. And you're going right against what the Bible says. Whether it breaks many commandments. So you can do something that breaks three commandments. You can do something that breaks nine commandments. Well, nine is worse than three. contains many sins within it. So that's sort of related to that. So some sins are kind of isolated and sort of a one thing. Others involve a lot of other sins. Like David, with Bathsheba, that wasn't just adultery, but it was also murder and lying and all these other things. If not only conceived in the heart, but breaks forth in words and actions. So that's what I was mentioning earlier. You can have, you have hateful thoughts in your heart against somebody. Jesus said, you've murdered him in your heart. So, if all sins are equal, and you're thinking, well, I've already murdered him in my heart, I might as well actually murder him, because it's no worse than what I've already done. Is that good logic? No, because actually carrying it out is worse than just thinking about it in your heart. It was a sin, but that makes it a worse sin when you actually do it. So I mentioned earlier about hypocrisy. Some people say, well, we've had this big conflict the last few years about LGBT, whatever. It's like this should be acceptable because if it's in people's hearts and they suppress it, that's just as bad as if they actually do it. No, that's not true. It's worse if they actually do it. And there is, that more heinousness of sin. If something is actually carried out, that's sinful in the heart. It also mentions scandalizing others. So that means you hurt others, cause them to sin. Admits of no reparation. Some things you can do and you can make reparations. Like you steal in the Bible it mentioned you steal somebody's cow. What do you have to do if you're caught? What's that again? Give them four cows, yeah. So you end up losing out on that deal. But you can make reparations. It can be repaired, and your victim actually comes out ahead in the end after going through all the heartache or whatever. But you can make reparations, but some sins you can't make reparations. You can't take it back. And the Bible mentions that about your good name. If you slander someone's good name, you can't retract it. Your name has been damaged no matter what you do afterwards. And there are some sins, like murder, for example, where you can't You can't make reparation. If it's against means, mercies, judgments, the light of nature, the conviction of conscience, public or private admonition, censures of the church, civil punishment. Our prayers, purposes, promises, vows, covenants, and engagements to God or men. Whew. Okay, that means you're breaking down a lot of barriers to commit this sin. The sin is there. There are a lot of things between you and that sin that should slow you down and keep you from doing that. But if you want to do it so much, you just burst through all those things and do it, that's more aggravated. So I can think of tons of illustrations for these, but we're out of time. But I think you see what I mean. And then it goes on more. If you do it deliberately, willfully, presumptuously, boastingly, you boast about your sins, that's worse. You think of these public marches and demonstrations for perversion, that's worse than just keeping it quiet. And then finally, circumstances of time and place. And just we just might mention, sometimes sins are worse just because of the day you do it on. If you do it on the Lord's Day, it says. If it's on the Lord's Day or other times of worship and you commit the sin then, it's worse. So where you do it? Some places it's easier to do sins than others, and if you do it where it's harder, that's more aggravation. So these are just different things. You can go through these, and I recommend you get a larger catechism with actually the Bible verses underneath. You can read the verses that go with it. And but that's a topic that I have rarely heard talked about, but I thought it was interesting because it's in the larger catechism and it's not in the other standards that we have. But we hold to the larger catechism as part of our confession of faith and part of our constitution. And it certainly is based on Scripture, as these 60 footnotes would indicate. Yeah, Bill?
Well, Dr. Battle, turns out that I'm guilty of most, if not all, of these things. Who shall free me from this body of death?
That's right. And who will? Thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's that verse in Romans 7 that leads right into verse 8, or chapter 8, where Paul rejoices that we can walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, and that our sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit prays in our behalf and prays through us, and we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ. So we flee to Christ, don't we? The more we look at our sins, the more hopeless we should feel in our own strength. Okay, let's have a word of prayer.